Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Those words and the whole of Psalm 23 is a favorite psalm, perhaps the favorite section of the whole Bible for many Christians. Because of that, the wonderful comforting assurance that it gives to us of God's love and care that is with us right now and will be with us throughout our whole lives. This psalm is read at the most Christian funerals and very often when a person is critically ill or at the edge of death or perhaps facing a dangerous surgery, because of that assurance that it gives us of God's love and care. And yet the imagery, the pictures and the comparisons that this psalm makes use of it are not immediately familiar from our daily lives, from our daily experiences for most of us here today, I would wager to guess. Very few of us, especially us city dwellers, have much experience with that relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. But as we read the Bible, we see this picture of that relationship of shepherd to sheep as a picture, a comparison that God uses again and again throughout the Bible to describe his relationship with us. We see that not directly referenced, but we certainly see that similarity all the way at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve fell into sin. And that sin became a barrier between Adam and Eve and their loving Creator God. As other passages of the Bible tell us, sin separates us from God. And they were lost in the shame and guilt of their sin and tried to hide themselves away. But just like a loving shepherd looking for his lost sheep, God calls out for them. He goes searching for them. Where are you? In the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, God says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. But as we read these treasured words of Psalm 23, we especially think of the true and ultimate, the epitome of the fulfillment of those words in our Lord Jesus, who identifies himself as that seeking shepherd. Here in the words of our sermon text from John chapter 10, when he says, I am the good shepherd. The wonderful truth that Jesus reveals to us here in these verses from John chapter 10 is that we belong to him. Not only do we belong to him because he is the one who created us, that God is our Father who created the universe and the world and everything in it and who created and formed each one of us. And of course, Jesus, as the triune God, was actively involved in that creating work as well. But as our good shepherd, Jesus demonstrated his deep desire, the deep desire of his heart, to have all people come under his gracious care. He tells us in this reading, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Just as God said through the prophet Isaiah, he said, we all have gone astray like sheep. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has charged all our guilt to him, to the Savior. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, we see why and just exactly in what way we belong to Jesus, because he has purchased us, he has redeemed us, bought us back. And as Martin Luther includes the ideas from this passage in his explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed, here we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, that Jesus did this not with things that pass away, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. And so as a result, because we have been purchased by God, we've been redeemed by him, not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus, The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price." Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. He has purchased us. He has saved us from our sins. He saved us from eternal death and suffering in hell. He has rescued us from the power of the devil. He did that by shedding his own life's blood for us. He is the only good shepherd. He is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophecies about the Savior. Using all of that wonderful imagery about the Savior as being the shepherd of the sheep who will care for God's people. We read in Isaiah chapter 40 about the Savior, that like a shepherd, he will care for his flock. With his arm, he will gather the lambs. He will lift them up on his lap. He will gently lead the nursing mothers. And in Ezekiel chapter 34, God said, "Then I will raise up over them one shepherd, and he will tend them. My servant David will tend them, and he will be their shepherd." And that reference there to "my servant David" is a reference to Jesus, to the Savior that God had promised would come as a descendant from Israel's King David's family line. And that is just what Jesus was according to his human nature. And here in John chapter 10, we see exactly why Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. And he explains that to us by contrasting himself and the way that he cares for us, his sheep, with the way of a hired man who is not the owner of the sheep. In our reading, it says, "The hired man who is not a shepherd does not own the sheep. He sees a wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. Because he works for money, he does not care about the sheep." But Jesus, on the other hand, he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus paid for the sins of the whole world when he died on the cross. And he continues to guard us from all harm and to guide us by his Holy Spirit. He is always working on our behalf to ensure that we will benefit from his care that he provides for us. When Jesus refers in these verses to the hired man who doesn't really care very much at all about the sheep, he just wants that paycheck, his immediate reference, of course, was to the religious leaders of the Jewish people at his time, whose religious observance had simply become an outward show to earn praise from other people rather than true inward piety and devotion to God from the heart. But of course, in these words, we who look back now on 2,000 years of church history since that time, we can also see that in those words, Jesus was also describing other unfaithful spiritual leaders who would later come up within the Christian church. False prophets, false Christs, false teachers with false doctrine in the church. Those are always the most poisonous destroyers of God's flock, even more harmful and dangerous than those who attack the church from the outside. Those who come up within with deception and deceit and false teaching often cause even more damage. And as we read in the New Testament, every one of the epistles, those letters written by the apostles to the people of God, they warn about some kind of danger threatening to corrupt the flock of the church, especially the threats that will come from within the church. And so we see that if it weren't for the gracious, faithful, loving care of the Good Shepherd, all of us would be swept away by those cunning, false teachings and their deceit, swept away into unbelief. But thank God that our Good Shepherd cares for us and that he gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself the people who are his own chosen people, eager to do good work. as the Apostle Paul writes in Titus chapter 2. And this statement about Jesus as the good shepherd is also a powerful invitation to each one of us to trust fully and firmly in him. Trust that you have been created by him, that you have been formed and fashioned by him, by the God of this whole world, of this whole universe, that he carefully made you in your mother's womb. Trust that you have been redeemed by him, so that neither the devil nor your own conscience nor anyone else can now accuse you before your heavenly Father. Trust that your good shepherd will guard and keep you in his loving arms, in his loving care, so that you may continually exclaim the words that we just sang from Psalm 23. I lack nothing. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Surely goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life. So confidently, we can cast all our anxiety on him because he cares for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And in addition to this wonderful comfort that we receive from knowing that we belong to Jesus, that we are his, that we are sheep of our good shepherd, redeemed by his blood, these verses from John chapter 10 also assure us that Jesus belongs to us. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. What an amazing relationship we see described here in these verses. Jesus compares our relationship with him with his relationship with God the Father. Think about the way that the Bible describes that relationship between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit as a perfect unity, as a perfectly loving relationship from all eternity. So think about how that love of our good shepherd for us reflects that love between God the Father and God the Son. That the love of our good shepherd for us is so intimate and so unique that there's no earthly comparison for it. The only comparison that fits is that relationship, that love between God the Father and God the Son. Just as God the Father knows God the Son deeply and perfectly, so also our good shepherd knows us, his sheep, perfectly. Intimately, he knows everything about us in our lives. And amazingly, just as God the Son knows God the Father, again, deeply and perfectly and intimately, so intimately and perfectly, we, the sheep, know our good shepherd. This intimate communion between us believers, us sheep, and our good shepherd, Jesus our Savior, that's an amazing thing to think about and to ponder. All who hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, all who believe in him, who trust in his redemption of us from our sins, we have the assurance that we have been called by the gospel. We've been enlightened by the Holy Spirit. We've been gathered by the Holy Spirit into the fellowship of the church, into this flock of our Good Shepherd. We have his assurance that he is strengthening us, that he will preserve us in faith until he calls us out of this life. And so as we look forward into the future, we can be confident with that assurance that he gives us, that there's only one promise of his that is yet to be fulfilled for us. There's only one thing that we are still waiting for of his promises, that eternal glory, peace, and rest that he has promised for us. Whenever our loving good shepherd chooses to call us out of this earthly life to his side, to his embrace in heaven. Jesus also says in John chapter 10 that I also have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now in this verse, we see the love and care of the good shepherd expanded, and we see the focus coming right down to us today. In these verses, as Jesus was speaking and teaching, the people that he was speaking to, his own disciples, were members of God's chosen people of Israel, the people to whom God had promised that the Savior of the whole world would be born from among their race. Jesus is saying here in this verse that he is the good shepherd, the Savior, not only for God's chosen people of Israel, but for all people who listen to him and who follow his voice of every race and ethnicity. And so we have that wonderful assurance that our good shepherd knows us. He knows us already before we come to him. He knows us while we were still straying in our sins. And he chose us to hear the good news of his love and forgiveness. He chose us and he planned out all of the history of the world so that that event would happen. He made that plan even before he began to create the world. He arranged every detail of history so that you would hear the voice of your good shepherd and believe and be saved for eternal life with him. Jesus knows and gives life. He gave his life for all of his sheep, for all of the sheep who will ever enter into his sheepfold. So as we meditate on this wonderful gospel, we receive great comfort. No matter what challenges we might face in our lives, no matter what enemy, no matter what danger or disease, we have Jesus' word and his promise that he is our good shepherd who will never leave us, who has given his life to save us. We have the assurance that we can trust him and his loving care throughout our whole life on this earth, despite whatever feelings we might have sometimes to the contrary, whatever doubts the devil might try to sow in our hearts. We can trust in our good shepherd to fulfill his promise about our future with him. As he assures us later in John chapter 10 and verses 27 and 28, he says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand."